Heavenly Father, we ask at this time that our hearts would be attuned to you and what you have for us. May your word work in our hearts. May your spirit work through it and bring life to all who hear it this evening. We ask all these things now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Remember that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. These sobering words set the tone for the whole season of Lent. We are to wrestle with our mortality and our sin. Lent is a time to slow down and reflect on who we are, what we love, and what we do. It's a challenging season for us because it's an extended period of self-examination in the light of God's word, and this should lead us to repentance. It's also a challenge for us as we seek to do this because of the many distractions that we face in our world. Our whole society is geared towards keeping us distracted and entertained. So why do we observe such a penitential season? Why do we put ourselves through these challenges every year? This evening, I'd like to take a look at some of our scripture readings to help us to help learn and inform why we do this. So first of all, in our Old Testament reading from Joel, we see that God called the people of Judah to fasting and repentance. And he says this, "Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments." Prophet Joel told the people to call a solemn assembly and to consecrate a fast. He included everyone in that call, from nursing infants to the elderly to the newly married. The need of God's people was so great that everyone needed to participate in turning to God and begging for his mercy and forgiveness. But what was the problem? What necessitated such a seemingly extreme response that every single person in the nation was supposed to come together and beg for God's mercy? The answer is God's impending judgment due to their sin. The coming judgment on Judah was to be so great that it was actually used as an image for God's final judgment of all things. And that's the kind of punishment sin deserves. Joel's call for the whole nation to fast and repent was the only possible response. So the reason for the seemingly extreme response to sin is that sin is actually far more heinous and offensive to God than we realize. As we get used to our sins and the sins of the people around us, our tolerance and acceptance of sin grows imperceptibly. Because of that, when we are confronted with our own sin, our response matches our lax acceptance of it. As an example, it's sort of like when an adult makes one kid apologize to another kid for taking their toy without permission. The guilty party stares at their feet and usually mumbles something along the lines of, "Sorry." The other kid, who also looks equally sincere in the matter, he sort of looks and mutters, "I forgive you." Clearly, the kid apologizing doesn't actually think they did anything wrong, right? And basically, they're just saying this because they don't want any additional discipline. We've all been there. Probably everyone in the room has done this themselves. But this is how we typically respond to God when our sins have been exposed. But true repentance is more than just mouthing words. It's even more than having ashes put on our forehead in public worship. God wants us to recognize in our hearts how grievously we've disobeyed him and how truly terrible that is. He wants us to feel the weight of our sins. If we examine our lives in the light of Scripture, then we will begin to see how deeply our hearts and minds are infected with sin. We will see how corrupt and evil we are when we use God's standard and not our own. When we recognize that we are truly miserable offenders, we will humble ourselves and beg for mercy. Our response isn't something that we work up or manufacture. Our grief and shame over sin is a work of the Holy Spirit. When we see our sin the way God does, our hearts will break. We will feel the weight of our guilt in the core of our being, right in the gut. We will know that the only appropriate response is to beg for mercy and forgiveness. There's nothing else we can do. When that happens, our response isn't about us or trying to look pious or holy. Our desperate cries for mercy are for God alone. It's about our relationship with Him. And this is the heart of what Jesus is teaching in our gospel reading. Jesus condemns those who make a big show of their fasting. They do it to win the praise of other people. They want to be thought holy and wise, but instead, their actions show that their hearts are sinful and selfish. They have their reward in the fleeting praise of the people. It is the treasure on earth that Jesus describes as being fleeting and vulnerable to corruption and theft. It won't last. But instead, Jesus teaches us the need for sincere repentance and turning to God. He indicates that spiritual disciplines such as fasting are an appropriate response to sin. But these responses aren't to be conjured up. They aren't to be done for the acclaim of others. Fasting and repentance should be for God alone. When we are driven to turn to God and beg for His mercy because of our sins, we are laying up treasure in heaven. We are receiving the incorruptible, eternal treasure of His mercy and forgiveness. So as we move forward into Lent, don't look at this season as a burden or time to stir up your emotions and grief. This isn't a season to make a show. It's a time to come to grips with the depth of our sin and turn to God anew for forgiveness. It's a time where you may find it helpful to disrupt your normal routine so you can better focus on God and your need for Him. Maybe you should fast from meat, carbs, sweets, caffeine, or Facebook. Maybe you should give up some of your free time or money and give them to those in need. Pray and ask God to help you make good use of Lent. Lent should not lead you to ultimate despair. It should lead you to Christ and our hope in His precious death and resurrection for us. It should not lead you to take comfort in how holy you are and how much you're fasting. It should lead you to the cross where Jesus was punished for your sins. Prayer and fasting don't earn you bonus points with God. We don't receive more favor or merit from Him because of our rigorous spiritual disciplines. We cannot earn our salvation. The point of Lent and giving up things is to show us our need for a Savior. We really are so wicked and vile that we have no hope in ourselves. Only God can save us. And He does it according to His good pleasure, apart from anything that we can do. And we receive it by grace through faith. The collect for today summarizes all of this so well. So I'd like to pray it again as we conclude. Almighty and everlasting God, who hatest nothing that Thou hast made, and dost forgive the sins of all those who are penitent, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.